Well, hello, everybody. We're so excited to be here. We have a really special podcast today. I might be a little biased, but this is probably my favorite podcast out of all of them, mainly because I have my beautiful wife here sitting next to me. Yes, it's very true. And she has her partner right next to her. Well, my wife's name is Jennifer, maiden name Joseph, but wait, now her name is Philip. And then we have Janet Tack. And Jen is a LMSW, mm-hmm. and Janet is a LPC.
Good job.
I had to make sure I get all that right. Yeah. A lot to remember in my head, you know, all these acronyms and stuff. But this is very special because, one, I personally know their journey. They just recently started their own private practice counseling service called House of Hope. Mm-hmm. So if you guys get some time, go check it out. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. And like I said earlier, this is really special to me because I got to be a part of y'all's journey. Mm-hmm. I got to even design y'all's logo, mm-hmm. which I would say it's pretty nice. But you know, you guys have worked so hard. I want to give you guys your flowers. You guys have worked really hard to get to the point that you guys are at right now. I know this is only starting, but you know, there's a lot more to explore. There's a lot more things that you guys are planning in the future. But just even the past like month and a half, the two months you guys have been working on it, you guys already been having clients, if I'm correct, right? You guys mm-hmm. have been having clients doing virtual consultations and counseling mm-hmm. as well. And it's been really doing great. And what I'm really mostly proud about is the fact that you guys took a risk. Mm-hmm. You know, we would have a lot of moments where we're praying about it, talking about it, and you guys finally decided to say, hey, we're going to take this risk to start this counseling service for our community. And so I want to invite you guys onto the podcast.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Welcome.
Yeah.
So as me and Matthews, we always talk about what Bellwether stands for is these three pillars, which is creativity, commerce, and church. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to be exploring a little bit about commerce because you guys are both entrepreneurs mm-hmm. working together as partners, which many people could say it's really easy or very difficult. Mm-hmm. It depends on what your perspective is. And so today we're going to ask you guys a little bit about what it was to take the risk to start your own counseling service. What did the journey look like for both of you to come together, to collaborate, come up with ideas to take this risk together? So first of all, I just want to ask you guys, how was it and how's your journey so far starting House of Hope?
I'll go first. Okay. So it's been a really good journey so far, honestly. I think me and Janet, we both had vision separately. Like I had always wanted to start something within our South Asian community. And I know Janet will talk a little bit more about her vision too, but our visions really aligned. And so we were kind of talking, I mean, we've been really, really good friends for almost a couple of years now. We knew each other in college, but we were able to kind of reconnect through the past couple of years. And we were talking and we thought it would be just interesting to potentially start something in the future. Like we're talking 2 or 3 years in the future, but then just God's call came and we were like, okay, why do we have to wait a few years? Why don't we start now? So we launched House of Hope, I think in February mm-hmm. officially. So it's been really good. I mean, I think we're learning a lot as entrepreneurs and we're learning a lot as women in business, which we're excited to share with you guys today. But overall, the journey has just been it's been beautiful to see things unravel and to see support come from places that we didn't expect as well, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Jen said, you know, and how you mentioned about taking a risk. Mm-hmm. I think risk involves trusting God's timing, mm-hmm. even when we don't have it all together, yeah. and just trusting that God will bring everything together, the right resources together, the mm-hmm. right people together. And so that's what we are seeing. It's just trusting God, trusting our journey, and knowing that if He gave us this vision, mm-hmm. then He'll instruct us and guide us along the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as partners, I think we both work really well.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like we are able to understand each other. Mm. And our main goal is to just encourage each other and encourage other people that are in the same mm-hmm. business, you know, that we are in, which is therapy, right? And connecting everyone together because we just love having a healthy community.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with everyone working together and collaborating together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
how was it for you guys? Because I know like you guys both could have taken independent routes mm-hmm. and started your own thing. What made you guys want to come specifically together? And just to echo that, I think it's always hard because you guys are also friends. Mm-hmm. Now you're business partners. Mm-hmm. So there's always like that fine line of, okay, this can potentially affect our friendship. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think me and Jen, we always talked about that. I'm pretty sure you and Danny have talked about that because at the end of the day, we are more friends than we are like business partners. So how do you guys, so one question and the second one.
Can you say the first question?
The first one is what made you guys want to go partner together rather go the independent route?
I think personally, like we just had a shared aligned vision and like me and Janet, I think we're very similar, but also very different too. So I think like finding someone who, cause there can be supporters in your vision, but it's different to have a collaborator with your vision too. You know, support looks different than collaboration. So just talking to Janet and seeing like her heart and you never want, like, I don't think either of us have ever felt like, oh man, like I'm having to switch my vision to accommodate one another's. Like both of our visions seem very aligned from the beginning and we would check in with each other too. Like, hey, like how does this sound to you? Like, is this okay? So I think that's a huge reason that we decided to do it together. And like our biggest thing is being able to multiply our business too, right? Mm-hmm. Like not only with clients, but we would love to see like a House of Hope Tennessee, like a House of Hope Atlanta, you know, like just to bring more accessible mental health care within different states too. So I think like both of us had, and we both have a big vision for education and curriculum development and stuff like that too. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, whatever Jen said.
That's why they work so well together.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, being friends and business partners, of course, that's risky. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know stories of friends that have gotten together and then they became business partners and then there was a falling out.
Yeah.
One thing that Jed and I, even before we began this whole thing, we have set that foundation of having really open conversations.
Yeah.
And, you know, both of us have a personality where we know that we can come to each other without feeling like, I'm going to insult this person, right? Because I think both of us know that each person is coming from a good place, right? And so I think as long as we keep having those open conversations, if we feel uncomfortable about something, just saying, hey, I don't really feel good about this idea. And so as long as we keep having those conversations and as long as we are able to be honest with each other, I believe that this will be a successful business. So ultimately, it's just being intentional about how we, talk and how we proceed in all of this.
And I'll share a quick example too. Like we launched our business in February and you had just come back from India and I was leaving to India. Like, so who launches a business first off? Like when,
like in a transitional.
It's such a transitional time. But I think like, for both of us, like knowing that, okay, there's going to be some times in the business where like Janet is doing more. There's going to be some times in the business when I'm doing more, but like just having open conversation with each other and like be, you know, like being like, hey, can you do this? Or, hey, I'll do this. I think that's been really helpful for the both of us too.
Yeah. I heard somewhere that having a business with a partner is like a marriage where sometimes it's like one person is doing more than the other. Yeah. Right. And so it's just kind of having that understanding.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to do that, or if you feel like you're going to have some sort of resentment, then obviously you have to like rethink that and just ask yourself, maybe I should just go the independent route, know?
I still remember like when you guys started off like with last year with Chai and Chad, it was like, you know, just, I just came for the Chai though, but.
Not the Chad.
Chai and Chad. So I still remember like when you guys started like a low-key version of the whole thing, and then you like, I saw like a lot of people from our community show up and was like, I was never expecting like, you know, this much people to show up or this much people to come openly talk about something like mental health. And so did that serve as like a groundbreaking for you guys to go forward with it?
I think so. Like, I think that was where like the vision really started, was from that conversation. Cause I mean, we met up, I still remember like, me and Ruben were like, oh my gosh, we need more married friends, you know? And so we had known Janet and Danny from the community. I went to school with Janet, like, and at TWU. And so we reached out, and I just remember our conversation was so good. Like, we had met up to have dinner, and, like, dinner lasted, like, 2 or 3 hours. And then we stood outside and talked in the parking lot for, like, another hour, you know? And so we had talked about, like, it had kind of been in my heart to, like, start something for our community. And then it had been in Janet's heart, too. And then we kept, like, saying we would do stuff, and then it never happened. And then finally, Janet was like, we just need to do it. And I was like, yes, dude, like, let's just do it, you know? So I think that was, like, that was kind of testing. Chai and Chat was, like, testing of the waters. Like, okay, how are people going to respond? And like you said, we had a pretty good response. So
I was going to say, like, even to echo that, like, I think even in the relationship, like, there was a lot of Holy Spirit moments, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we knew any decision we made, I think even all the times we met up, there was always God's divine, like his like stamp of approval on like any decision we made. Because I think anything you guys would do, we would always pray about it. You know, it would be, and it's so divine. I don't think like I think one thing when people are starting together, you have to ask what the Lord wants to do and what the purpose of what you're doing is, like seeking the Lord's face in anything that you do. And if it's for the sole reason of making money, like, you should probably reassess why you're doing it, you know? And I don't think any of our conversations were around we can make a lot of money or whatever like that, even though we joke about it sometimes, you know? But it was always because there was a purpose. You guys wanted to serve the community. We saw a lack in the community. We're like, this is what God is telling us to do. I was even talking with, I think even for me and you, like, I think for us to, like, collaborate and come together, there had to be certain things that we had to lay aside and say that we're doing it because there's a bigger purpose behind 100%. It. Yeah. And one thing even with Matthews too, I told him, like, you know, sometimes, like, even if the podcast gets busy or if there's other areas of life that gets busy, especially like working in church. And I remember having a really great conversation with him. I was like, hey, just in case I get busy, like, I just want you to know, like, you know, I'm still here. And he's like, the first thing he told me is like, bro, as long as you're fulfilling your purpose, you know?
That's good.
And so I was like, wow, that's actually a great, like, business leader, like, business partner, you know, someone who sees a purpose in the other person and knows that this is what God's call is for their life. And so I think even for both of you guys, like, I know, like, seeing you guys and having those Holy Spirit moments, if Janet has, like, something that God is telling her, you support her, vice versa, things like that. So.
And even from the beginning, like, I still remember we met up to have Mediterranean food before we decided to officially, like, launch House of Hope. And I remember praying about House of Hope that week, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was telling us that this is not going to be like a business partnership, it was going to be a covenant, you know? Like, I feel like that's something that the Lord really told us from the beginning too, is like, yes, you know, like, hopefully we do make money because that would be awesome, but this is, like, bigger than just us, you know? Like, this is something that we feel like God has stirred in our hearts because he wants to see a change within the mental health of our community too. So
and a lot of, like, stepping out, you know, in obedience. And just, like, listening to God's voice and understanding his vision for our community. Because if you look at the people in the Bible, a lot of them understood the lack in the community and they stepped out and they did it. And I believe that's what God is calling us to do, right? To be risk takers requires us to see what's lacking.
Yeah.
You just step out and do it. And sometimes it might be, like, a slower process. You know, I think one thing which we were talking about is in terms of our business is, even though it might be a little bit slower, we're not going to compare it to, you know, secular business or a regular business. Because when it's led by God, then God will know what he needs to do and what he needs to add, what he needs to take out, you know. And so, like, us doing our part and then everything else is slowly falling into place.
Exactly.
I think, like, when you collaborate with people, with different people, like, or different, especially when you have friends, I think one of the basic things that you need is trust. Like, I can't collaborate with Ruben if I don't trust him enough, and he can't collaborate with me. That, I think that trust has to be mutual, and that's like very, very important. And I think that's like why some of the reasons why some businesses fail because you don't trust your partner. Because you are like, initially you do, you see some growth, you see progression in the initial phases, and then eventually that you're like, okay, what happens if this guy steals my money? And it becomes all about the basic side, and we've seen like instances of that multiple times throughout the community. And one other thing, like, I wanted to add on is, like, recently, like, I was talking to one of my friends, he said, Matthews, I want to start a business. I was like, oh, these are my things. I was like, man, that's so cool. He was like, why do you want to start the business? And his first answer was like, I want to make money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't start a business to make money. I mean, your money is secondary, but what the number one thing is, like, what do you want to do with your business? I mean, your business or anything that you start, any initiative, not, it doesn't have to be a business. It might be a nonprofit, it might be an initiative, it might be even a life group.
Yeah.
What do you start has to be something that's not there in the community or not there in your locality. And catering to the need of the community or the world or whatever place that you're in, I think that's what a business or anything that you start must be. And if it's not directed from God, like God actually has placed people in certain geographical places to start things like this so that it is there to progress the community, to propel the community further. And I think that's the part that most people miss out, because everybody's like, okay, I want to start a business, I want to make money, I just don't want to live like, I just don't want to work for someone. And I think that those are like very very lame reasons to start a business. And I think it's, I mean, definitely money comes in. I mean, it takes, I mean I started my business, it took me almost a year and a half to break even. So it was like, at one point I was like, why am I even doing business? You know, that was my kind of, I was so frustrated at times. But I think it's just like, and also in a business, since you're the last person to get paid, you make sure like everybody else gets paid. You make like you don't get paid. I mean, there are times where I haven't
you had to sacrifice a lot.
And it's like, it's giving up on stuff, like things that you love, you know, and then you're like, oh no, this is not gonna work, because I gotta make sure like the people who depend, like when you do a business, when you have employees, they actually are trusting you to be a good employer, a person who is just, you know? And if that's not coming from you, then they can't trust you. They don't want to work for you. And which is one of the main reasons why we have so many issues in the workspace or the marketplace today, because there is no trust between the employee and the employer. Just like it's there with the partners, it has to be there. And, you know, and I think like, that's like a lot. I mean, we can talk about issues like all day long in the marketplace, but I think like we can talk like what is like more of a resolution kind of thing. And one of the things that you guys are like being opening up at the beginning, it's like, hey, if you're not comfortable, just tell me. If you know, like, you know, I think that's like really mature. And how do you feel like after starting off all this, like, you know, in this time, like when you're getting clients, and then how do you guys feel that that transition happening, like from a dreamer point to a doer point? Like, you know, like a few months back you guys were like dreaming, okay, let's do this, let's do that, but now you guys are doing something. So I mean, the dreamer side is always easy. I mean, no offense, but it's very easy. You can you can big write down all the big dreams, but when you get to the doing side, that's when things get challenging. So how do you feel like that transition has been?
I mean, I think it's been challenging for sure. Like, we've seen a lot of wins and a lot of dreams. But I think one thing me and Janet were talking about is, like, when you initially, and I'm sure, Matthew's, like, you guys probably know this, and Ruben too, like, as business owners, like, when you first start a business, like, everyone is so excited, right? Like, they're like, we're going to support you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then you actually start the business, and all of these people who, like, talk about support, like, they don't show up, right? Like, I remember we had people who were like, we're going to book. And we're so thankful for that support. But the I think the biggest thing that God has been teaching us in this season is that support comes from the most randomest places, you know? Like, most, like, you know, like, even I was thinking, I'm doing like my supervision right now for my clinical license, and my like white co-therapist who's in my group is like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna refer people to you, you know? And like my black supervisor is like, I'm so excited for you, I'm so proud of you, I'm gonna refer people to for you, you know? Like, that's where we're getting like most of the support from. It might not always be within our community. So I think that's like something that the Lord has been teaching us is like, one, like, don't build your dreams on other people's support, right? Like, don't be like, okay, I'm gonna launch this because I know this person's gonna support me, because the truth is probably not gonna happen. But rather, no, like, trust, like, build your dreams on God's support, right? And know that God will bring the most randomest people in order to see your dreams come true. So I think that's been like kind of a bittersweet lesson to learn in this process, has been like the people who say that they're gonna support you are not gonna support you, are not supporting.
Just a tweak on that. I think it's like, don't build your business or don't build your ideas on other people's promises. Build it on God's promises.
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Because I mean, if God said for us to start, then he'll take care of the rest.
Exactly.
That's something that we've been learning, you know. Because I think initially, like, a lot of people, when we had launched it, a lot of people mm-hmm. were DMing us and messaging mm-hmm. us, and a lot of what they said sounded really good, right? Mm-hmm. And we were getting excited, mm-hmm. but then there was no like follow up. Mm-hmm. People didn't really, you know, reach back out after that. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we've been learning. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't say like, you know, we're so disappointed or upset yeah. about it. I think it's, these are just life lessons yeah. that we learn.
Yeah.
And we're glad that we're learning it early on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then like later down the road. Because if we kind of realize later down the road, I feel like it'll be even more disappointing.
Yeah. Mm.
And so now that we have this mindset, we're just more of like, okay, you know what? We've learned this. And so at the end of the day, we have each other, right? We have God. And then we have the support of people that truly want us to succeed.
Yeah. Mm.
And then everything else we'll just kind of discover as we go. It's right. it's a learning, it's like a lesson that we're learning.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
because there's not a lot of people that we can go to mm-hmm. in terms of like our community. There's not a lot yeah. of like women business leaders in yeah. our community that we can reach out to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But you guys are definitely setting up a standard, a precedence. Like you guys are being a trailblazers mm-hmm. there so that, you know, you are being like, okay, you're taking a step for
yeah.
as a business woman leader mm-hmm. in Dallas, in the Indian community. Mm-hmm. So that's actually going to inspire a lot of
yeah.
people,
yeah.
a lot of young
yeah.
girls who are in college,
absolutely.
High school.
Yeah.
They're gonna see this, they're like, okay, they're doing this. I can
yeah.
do this too.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
I think
sure.
that's not there. Like, there's no stepping out. There's not
yeah.
much stepping out in our community because of all the prejudiced mindsets
mm-hmm.
that we have. I think
yeah.
we are so sticking to like what we have.
It's safe.
Yeah,
yeah.
We want to
yeah.
play it safe. And there's
yeah.
nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, eventually, like, yeah, you do want to play it safe when you have kids and stuff like that. But
yeah.
And like, how long can you play it safe? You know, it's
yeah.
like, it's like, I mean, one of my friends told me this very recently that I loved it. It's like, once you step out of your comfort zone, it's like it's a danger zone. It's like something
mm-hmm.
different there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Then you stay out there. It's danger zone, and then initially it is danger, but initially, and then as time progresses, it becomes your next comfort zone.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
And then you become comfortable there.
Yeah.
So then God comes
yeah.
again. God's
yeah.
like, okay,
time
step
to go.
Out again.
Yeah.
You know? So I think
yeah.
it's just like, you know, it's just like, you know, like boat, from the boat to the storm,
yeah.
and then from the storm back to the boat
yeah.
again. Like
yeah.
you know,
back
you
and
be
forth,
yeah,
yeah.
It's back and forth and. I think like a lot of people don't answer that call.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, I'll play it safe.
Yeah.
yeah.
But the people who actually take that step of faith and risk everything and go there, I think that's the ones like, you know, God really rewards
yeah.
because
yeah.
he's like, okay, you are obedient. And I think
yeah.
that's like what you guys did too. Like, you know,
yeah.
you guys could have a ton of excuses. Like, you know, you're a mother and like, you're like, oh yeah, I don't want to do this. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, I have a daughter. It's going to be too much. And you could have like, I mean, there's 100,000 excuses
yeah.
that you could have said,
yeah.
but
yeah.
you know, but taking up that, you know, I think
yeah.
that's very important. Like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I think that's definitely going to set a precedence in the community
yeah.
and for people to
yeah.
come, like, you know, even people who are in schools right now, it's actually enabling
yeah.
them to take that step out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's the most important thing because we don't have people to look. I mean, like you said, you guys don't have anybody to look up right now, but the people who are coming forward, like the
mm-hmm.
younger generation,
yeah.
they actually have someone to look
yeah.
at. That's you guys.
I mean,
yeah.
and I think the cool part too, like me and Janet were just talking about this today, is like we thought that this phase of our business would look like just marketing and getting clients and everything, but the Lord has been using us even before we're getting a lot of clients to collaborate with other therapists,
mm-hmm.
you know, with
and
other South Asians.
Others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With other South Asian therapists to help others. Like even today we had a meeting with a
an
college. Yeah, a college student who's starting an organization
mm.
for mental health for South Asians, you know,
mm.
South Asian college students and just South Asians in general. So I feel like the Lord is using what we thought was to do marketing and to create a base, but he's like, nope, I'm going to take care of that. I want you guys to like stand in the gap and help
right,
other
help
therapists
others.
And be helped by other therapists too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And even like Matthew mentioned, like, you know, we can have a bunch of excuses.
Yeah.
You know, even as a mom, it's like, oh, obviously, logically speaking, right? Like, it would be better for me to have a stable job,
mm.
right? And have stable income. But then, you know, what I want is as my daughter and, you know, our future kids, as they watch me and they watch both of us,
mm-hmm.
I want them to say, you know, it's okay for us to take risks,
yeah.
right? Because it's like, if I don't take risks, I'm just going to be unsatisfied.
Mm.
And within our community, we have a lot of parents that encourage their children to go for safe jobs. And there's nothing wrong in going for safe jobs. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be an engineer, if you want to be a nurse and that's your passion, go for it.
Yeah.
But if you feel like there's another calling in your life to go for something else, to do something different, right? Explore that. because you don't want to lay on your deathbed regretting that, man, I should have done that and I didn't do it.
Right.
And now it's too late, right? You don't want to ever ask yourself, I wonder how that could have been had I gone for it, you know? And so that's always been my thing, right? Like when it comes to counseling, I'm just like, I don't want to like lay on my bed, like thinking, I wonder what it would have been like if I had a private practice.
Right.
But I didn't, I was just working for other people and other people's visions when I could have worked on my own vision, which God had given me.
Absolutely. And it's also like, not everybody is like called to be an entrepreneur. Like some people are called into the marketplace where like as a normal 9-to-5 job worker to make a difference. As some people are called to be pastors, like, or some in the creative field, like, you know, freelancing. Like, I think everybody has a different set of calling. I think people need to understand that too. Like, you know, it's not like only if you're an entrepreneur you can make money or you make millions of, no, it doesn't work like that. I mean, that, you, it's, and I think stepping out is not just for entrepreneurs. I think it's for everybody. Every single field that you're working, God can call you to step out of there. And I think that step of faith, I think that's what makes a difference. And like we're just saying this, like at the end of the day, the kingdom is winning, you know. It's the kingdom is advancing, like the goal is to build a kingdom, like you know, we don't have, like, the agenda has to be that, you know, wherever we go, like when you guys go to counseling, like when you guys, like, you know, or like when people go into the marketplace, like, where, how can we win souls, like how can we get people to know Jesus, experience the love of Jesus. And I think as counselors, you guys are one of the best people to actually say that, because, you know, the greatest comforter is the Holy Spirit, and, you know, he is the comforter. So I think that, like, there's no greater evidence to show than that, like, you know, that the love of Jesus is so evident in our lives.
Absolutely.
Jen, can you speak into having the support of your husband's?
I was like, I'm pretty sure he was going to ask that. I was like, the way that he was going to.
I mean, like, I think...
Say the truth already.
Just, like, talk good things about me for a second.
I'm ready.
I think, okay, you know, to lay down some hardcore truth, sometimes in our Malayali communities, we have very strong women and very insecure men. sorry for everyone else, but it's the truth, right? Like, there are very, very strong women who are career driven, passionate, amazing, and unfortunately very, very insecure men, you know. And I think sometimes it goes down to, like, women are raised to be mothers and wives, and sometimes men are raised to be boys and stay boys, right? sorry, guys. You asked me to say the hardcore truth. So
You did ask for it.
And so, I remember, like, you know, I am someone who's, like, secure in who I am, and I'm secure in my vision. And I remember whenever, like, me and Janet were starting to have conversations, like, I asked Ruben about it, and he was, like, 100%. So supportive, you know, like, even before I even wanted to jump into it, like, I remember I was, like, nervous, like, I was driving home, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I, you know, need to talk to him about this, like, because it's a whole new stuff for us, and we're, like, I mean, we're, our lives are crazy busy with ministry and stuff, too. And I remember asking him about it, and he was like, yeah, babe, go for it. And I was like, wait, what? Like, that's it? Like, I was like, well, you're not gonna give me any pushback or anything? But he was like, no, go for it. And, like, I remember we were having a conversation afterwards, and I was like, why is it so easy for you to support me, you know? Because that's not something, as Indian women, we don't usually see, like, support from men a lot, you know? And I was like, why is it so easy for you to support me? And he's, and one thing I realized is, like, when he is secure in who he is, it's easy for him to support me, right? Like, when he's secure in his vision, when he's secure in who God called him to be, it's easy for him to support me. So that's my homework or tidbit for our men out there. Love you guys, but please learn to be secure in yourself so you can, like, let women go and let them be secure in their
calling. Well, I mean, I've seen the same thing even in Danny too. I mean, even Danny, he's a successful real estate agent, and his business is doing great. You know, I mean, honestly, like, you could have just been like, I'll be a stay at home mom if I wanted to, you know. But I think, like, one thing I love, even just seeing one thing, even like the other day, one thing that really just made me so happy was, like, Jen got done with her counseling session, meeting with somebody, and she's just like, I feel like my life is so fulfilled, you know? She's like, I have so much purpose,
yeah,
you know? And I was like, that's just amazing, you know? Like, she can feel happy. She feels supported. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, it just makes all of our lives better, you know? It makes my life better. Mm-hmm. So I think just, one, it is important to have the support of your husbands, but like to your point, like, we also feel really secure in who we are, which in many ways we're able to also bring the most joy to you guys as well, finding purpose in what you guys do as well.
So, and I think also encouraging the call over, you know, your partner's life. That's really important. And recognizing it too. Mm-hmm.
Right,
you know,
right.
I think a lot of times we just get so wrapped up in our lives. And I don't think that people do it on purpose. Mm-hmm. But I think that certain couples, like, you know, they're like, oh, we'll just do this and we'll just do that. But then they feel so unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, learning how to talk to each other, speak to each other and call out that, you know, and basically telling them, hey, like, take these risks so that you can feel fulfilled. You can feel that you are walking in the calling and the anointing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've heard a lot of stories of, I mean, since we specifically talk about women, like a lot of women that are so creative and that are anointed.
Absolutely.
But, you know, because of their husbands, maybe just feeling insecure or not feeling that it's right for them to do these things per se.
Yeah, they feel
just
stifled.
Yeah, they're stifled. Yeah. They're kind of like shut down.
Yeah.
And they just accommodate whatever their husband's wishes are and live unsatisfied, unhappy lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen you do a great job of this, Janet. Like you know, you're expecting... Maybe the people know.
Yes.
Number two.
Okay. Well,
by the time this podcast comes out, probably the baby.
I know.
It's okay. And then also, you know, you having a baby Hattie. You're doing such an amazing job, like just balancing it and seeing you both have like so much fun. So it's incredible to see how like both of you guys have been balancing just life. Mm-hmm. Going and taking this risk as we're talking about, but also finding joy in what you guys are doing. So that's been amazing.
And I think like Janet and Danny do such a good job, like not just as parents and everything else that they do, but also like just being really good friends and like even just being a part of their community, you know, which I think is so important for business leaders too, because as a business leader, like, yes, you care about your business, but you need to also care about like your community and how like you can make a difference within your community too, you know? And I know like me and Ruben have felt that too. Like I'll like ask myself, I'm like, Jenna's a mom of two. Like Danny's like always running around, like, but they still make time, you know? So I think like as a business leader, like pouring back into your friendships, pouring back into your communities, is like one of the most important
things. And that balance is possible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Would y'all say it is possible, right? To balance all that stuff.
I mean, yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be tired some days, but I think, learning how to manage like time management, learning how to create like a routine.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, initially like both of us would just kind of like make random plans with people and then like, we're gonna take rain checks, but then we've learned to just have a calendar, and we've just learned to invest because we know that our greatest investment is in other people's lives and friendships.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if we don't have that, then like life really doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's a quote which says, "No man is an island." Mm. We're not like this marooned island all by ourselves, just living our lives.
Yeah.
Like our life thrive when we're surrounded by people. You know,
and
when we're investing in people's lives and loving people. And supporting people.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that and if you don't do that, then all of this really means nothing.
Right, right.
And dude, like, you know, when you guys said community, just pouring back into the community, I think that's something, I think we had this conversation once, probably at Chai and Chad that day.
Mm-hmm.
You said a lot of people say this is wrong with the community, that is wrong with the community. They don't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
And we can keep complaining about the community all day long, maybe all 365 days long.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's enough stuff to complain like that.
Yeah.
But there's also enough stuff to do about it too. You know?
Sure.
And I think as like I think especially in the Indian community, again, not criticizing anyway. Yeah. I think we've like learn more to complain and we learn less to do.
Yes.
To be proactive.
Yeah. You know, we don't do anything about it. We just like, we love complaining about it. You know?
Something so comforting about complaining. Yeah.
Exactly. You know,
we're very reactive.
Yeah. Exactly.
When we see a problem, like, and then we're like, oh, that's the problem. Somebody else go now fix it.
Yeah.
When you're like, hey, what can I now do to go and fix it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what you guys, when you guys stepped into it, because nobody from the Indian community was actually stepping into something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you did that, so there's like a difference there. So you guys are stepping out, you guys are coming out like, this is what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that as a community we need to learn too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like where we can actually appreciate, like, okay, hey, there's something lacking there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can help out with that something. So
yeah.
I think that's just how Bree bridged the gap.
Yes.
Instead of like getting out of the moment, like we're like, okay, I don't want to be in the Indian community anymore. So it's like, you know, you leave the community and it's like you go from the American community or any other community.
Yeah.
So I mean, which is not wrong. I'm saying like, you know, there's always a scope like what we can do in the community.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, how were you guys able to do that? You know, I mean, you guys have had ton of reasons maybe to get out of it, but you know, how were you able to like have that conviction and that strength, like, to, okay, whatever, no matter what, we're going to stay here. We want to make a difference.
Yeah. I love what you said, Matthews. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, going into a different community, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I think we've all had those thoughts. Like, I remember, like, when I was in college and, like, you know, I was like, oh, I hate this community. I'll never come back to this community, all those things. But I think you get to a place... I think growing up, like, it's very much like you're like, it's me versus the community. But I feel like when you get older, you start to learn, like, there's reasons that things have happened. Not saying that any of these reasons are correct or anything like that. But I think for me, like, I kept thinking about, like, the younger generation, right? And I kept thinking, like, you know, like, when we have kids and stuff one day, I think that the Indian community has a lot of flaws, but a lot of beauty as well too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anything is happening in your life, like, if you, like, break your arm, like, there's a meal train out there, people are there to visit, you know? Like, there is honestly... the community and the care that you get from the Indian community, I haven't personally found anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, it could be out there, not saying that it's not. So I think, like, understanding that there are reasons for flaws, and a lot of it is, like, trauma, too, right? Like,
a lot of dysfunction,
a lot of trauma that exists in our community. I think also thinking about the younger generations, right? Like, I had great chichis and chachins who poured into my life, but if we, in our, like, 20s to 30s, just decide to get up and go, who's going to help them, right? Who's going to take care of them? And I'm not saying it's, like, your responsibility for the rest of your life and all those things, but I kept thinking, I'm like, I want my kids to, like, experience this community. I want them to know their language. I want them to know, like, their mother tongue and, like, in India and stuff and the culture, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, there's this quote by Gandhi which says, you know, be the change that you wish to see in the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can talk till we're blue in the face about all the changes that we need to make and complain and do all of these things. But then if it doesn't start with us, then who's going to do it?
Yeah.
It's always going to be, oh yeah, we need more mental health people, right? We need more private practice, but someone else can do it.
Right.
And so ultimately stepping out and saying, I'm going to be the change.
And
I'm going to be that drop in the ocean.
Yes.
And I'm not necessarily going to, like, change the whole world.
Right.
But I know that my one small impact can cause a domino effect.
Yep.
Right.
It can impact someone else, and that person can go out and impact someone else.
Right.
And so, therefore, it's just, you know, wherever we've been placed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, like, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, but wherever God has placed you, asking yourself, how can I be a change in this
space.
Yeah, so leaning into the more mental health side of things, what prompted both of you guys to be in the respective fields that you guys are in? And what is a need, especially in our community, that you guys saw that you're like, hey, this is why we're going to go do what we're going to do, take the risk?
I think for myself, like, I've struggled with my mental health for as long as I could remember.
Okay.
You know, I was even thinking about, like, being, like, 9, 10 years old, like, struggling with things like anxiety, struggling with things like suicidal thoughts, you know, not wanting to be on this planet anymore because I didn't feel worthy or wanted, right? And so that's something huge that prompted me to go into this field, is going through my own mental health journey. And I still am on my own mental health journey, right? I don't think any of us will be completely free from these feelings probably until we get to heaven one day, you know? Yeah. So I'm going through it personally myself. And I think for our community now, our community is very complex, right? Like it's intergenerational. It's we have multiple languages, multiple cultures, multiple like populations and different things that we're working with. So I think where our community is now is starting to recognize the need for mental health, but also like being able to understand one another and understanding like what is mental health, right? We were talking about earlier, like in India, they would usually say, "Oh, Branda," you know,
like that's... we were just talking about that with Nancy too, yeah.
Which is like such a crazy stigma because they would say like, "Oh, Branda," and like you would never see that cousin or that uncle or that aunt again, right?
Yeah. Like, it's like labeling that person, almost discounting them,
Forever label,
Yeah. And even how it's like depicted, even in like not even Indian cinema, but in American cinema as well too, like movies like Split and
they just go off and like in a murder rampage
exactly, and so all those things. So I think like educating people, and I think also making sure that people understand that you can still lead and live a very good life if you can get your mental health in check.
And for me, I started to recognize that people were at a young age, I think like when I was like 11 or 12, that people were going through different issues, but they just felt like they didn't really have anyone to talk to, or they felt like they didn't have a safe space due to judgment, due to feeling that people are going to gossip about them, people are going to make fun of them.
Yeah.
And so, especially within our Indian community, one thing that I'm sure the listeners are going to relate to is this whole aspect of putting on this perfect facade, right? Like I'm perfect, perfect grades, perfect family, everything is perfect. But then behind closed doors, you hear all these stories of people that are going through divorce or people that are going through trauma, sexual abuse, rape, just different things that would be shocking for me initially. And that's what, and then the more I began to listen to these stories, I understood that it's actually quite normal, you know, that people are going through mental health issues. And so for me, I've always wanted to be that safe space where a person can come and tell me something and I can just say, hey, you know what, you're not judged here,
right?
You know, this is a safe space, you're gonna feel accepted here, you're gonna feel like you no longer have to carry this burden that you've carried for so long. You know, that's and as I've gotten older, I've just felt that call of God over my life. And long story short, you know, I believe that the Lord, you know, opened all the doors that needed to be open, you know, because for me, especially as a South Indian and a South Asian, explaining this to my parents was not easy. Right? Like, my parents wanted me to be a dentist. And so then, like, me going and explaining to my parents, like, hey, I want to be a counselor. And now, as I'm older, I understand their hesitation. Because it wasn't normalized in our community. There was no one that was a counselor. There was no one that was a therapist. So for them, they're just like, what? What does it even mean? But I'm glad that, you know, even though it was hard for them, that they were able to open their mind to that. And then they were able to say, you know what, yes, we're going to support you. And because of that, you know, that action, now here we are, right? Like, we opened up our private practice and we're able to help others and make a change in a different way.
I want to say, first of all, thank you guys for you know, being obedient and taking that step. I mean, we always talk about your journey as well and how it was hard for you to first tell your parents and tell your cousins and stuff about the decision you're making. But we always talk about how, like, for us, life is just filled with so much joy, you know. We feel so fulfilled because, one, she's doing what she loves, but we're also helping people, you know. We hearing their stories are just incredible, like, like the journey that of their progression of how they were struggling or they're going through something and they're like, man, I really find peace now in my life. And so we always talk about that. And I was like, I just want to say, like, thank you guys for just being obedient to that. And I think, like, even for us being married, I think the greatest blessing, I'll be honest, like, even in my own journey, like, struggling with, like, anxiety all through high school, you know, finding other outlets to feel fulfilled that were not really necessarily giving me that that peace that I needed, or was giving me that like comfort that I needed. So it was actually making things worse.
Yeah.
Then even in marriage, like Jen knows this, like struggling with things like depression, you know? And so these are real things that people face and we go through. You don't obviously, like, everything is not just a band-aid that you just put on and just think that we can just fix everything. Yeah. So even just her stepping to that field, educating me a lot, you know. It's true. It was funny because we met with someone yesterday and I was actually telling them about counseling. Jen's like, why are you teaching them? I'm the counselor here. I was like, because you taught me so much at this point, you know. So that's really what
the student has become, the master. Oh my God.
Yeah,
we should be partners, right?
Like,
you know,
like a therapist.
I know.
Welcome to
House of Hope. Yeah.
I just have so much of an appreciation, I should say. I have so much of an appreciation and learning how has helped me so much, you know, learning all these terms and things like coping, boundaries, you know, which are so necessary.
Yeah.
And I think if you didn't choose a route to be a counselor, if you did go to your original occupation or profession that you want to, I probably feel like I would be in a much worse place. So I'm glad that she chose this route too. So I just want to thank you guys for saying yes to that and encouraging our audience members who are watching too, who feel that fear of, should I step out and do this? I promise you, and you guys can probably attest to this, it's really rewarding.
It is.
Yeah.
Right. And on that note, I just want to ask about something too, like about from a counselor stand-up, like as a business stand-up view, how is insurance, things like that being covered? I think that's something that we often neglect about and we just like don't talk about. And most people think, like, you know, a therapist is like $300 an hour or $400-$500 an hour.
Yeah, so, they think it's too expensive.
Yeah, they think it's too expensive, but in reality, if you have a good insurance and you have a copay, it's much cheaper, right? So what do you guys can you guys talk about that, and what do you guys
So we actually at House of Hope don't accept insurance, and we have a couple of reasons why. So the first reason is insurance makes you overly diagnosed very quickly. And so for coming from a community where mental health is such a stigma, we don't want to work with insurance that will make us, like, you come and see me once and suddenly I put like a big label on you, right? And secondly, insurance also tries to dictate your treatment plans, right? Like, insurance is not going to see, you know, Matthews is living with his parents and he's really stressed out, so he's coming to therapy. Insurance is going to be like, what's the big deal about that? Like, he doesn't need to do therapy. So they'll try to dictate how you do your therapy as well, too. So we don't take insurance. Yeah, but...
and also with insurance, sometimes they only allot, like, a certain number of sessions.
Yeah.
Like, so say, for example, like, if you came to me and you're like, I'm struggling with trauma, insurance is like, okay, you can just see them for 10 sessions, and then that's it. They'll be paid for like 10 sessions. So, you know, we talked about it, we discussed about it, and we just felt like it was best for us to work privately because it gave us the freedom to not really put like any label or diagnosis on people. I mean, of course, there is, I mean, clinically, it's good to have a diagnosis so we're able to treat you accordingly and have a treatment plan. But that's on our side.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But like, if someone has an insurance, like, I'm supposed to tell you, like, oh, hey, so you have a major depressive disorder with like psychosis or something. I don't know. And then, so then you're walking around like, dang, I'm like, all right. Like, I'm just cracking.
And then you're like, insurance doesn't cover any more treatments. So I'm just going to be crazy for the rest of my life. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, especially within the Western way of doing things, because Jen and I have both worked in inpatient settings and the Western way of viewing mental health, we just don't agree with a lot of things, which is, here's a diagnosis and we're going to push a bunch of medications on you. We believe that medications are good. Medications and therapy go hand in hand.
Yeah.
There are people that take antidepressants and see a therapist. That's wonderful. But medications are not like this magical pill. Like, you take it and you're like,
whoa, feel better.
My anxiety's all gone. Like, I'm free, you know?
Yeah.
And so ultimately, we just decided that we wanted to do a more holistic approach, which is, understand the whole person. Like, you know, where are you coming from? Like, what's your family of origin like? You know, where are you coming from? What have you been exposed to? And so when we're able to understand all of that, it does take a couple sessions.
Yeah.
So when we have the freedom of doing that, there's no insurance imposing their needs,
yeah.
you know, their rules, their regulations mm-hmm. on us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And also, even if you don't have insurance, I believe that we have pretty competitive rates.
Mm-hmm.
Our rates are affordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that are seeing us are really surprised
mm-hmm.
by how affordable our rates are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the regular market rate to see a therapist for an hour is like usually like $200, $250.
Mm-hmm.
And so we believe that our rates are much more affordable.
Yeah.
And for those that are not able to afford
mm-hmm.
Therapy, we have opened up a scholarship fund
mm-hmm.
where people from the community can put money into that. And based upon our discretion, we are then able to help each person out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because ultimately our goal is to make mental health accessible.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't want anyone to feel like they can't come see us because it's about finances.
Right.
You know?
We're just so thankful for both of you guys. There's a lot that we want to cover, especially with your entrepreneurship and especially with the bringing awareness. I think we would probably have to have a much longer podcast.
We need to do part two.
Part two, honestly. But what you guys are doing right now, it's really amazing. If you guys want to just talk a little bit about, and we were talking about House of Hope, but maybe if there's anything in regards to House of Hope that you guys feel like you left out before we end this podcast, what are some things that...
I believe that, you know, like I was saying, as a viewer, if you feel like, you know, you would like to contribute to our scholarship fund to help another individual, we would really appreciate that, you know, because there are a lot of college students out there, just a lot of people out there that are dealing with different mental health struggles. And so this is one way that you are able to advocate for that, you know, and like take that step and do it. So even if sometimes you might struggle with speaking about it, if you're able to financially contribute,
yeah.
that itself is a form of advocacy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think if you are thinking about therapy but don't know where to start and are nervous, just book an initial consultation with
yeah.
us. It's free,
yeah.
15 minutes free session. Like, just book it, hear what we're about, and let's see if therapy is the route that you should be going.
Yeah.
Where can everyone kind of follow you guys? What's the handle?
So we have our Instagram handle, House of Hope CC, and then you can go on our website to book with us, www.houseofhopecc.com. You'll get to know a little bit more about us, and you can book directly from the site too.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, sure.
That's amazing. And before we wrap up, what are some ways that we get pray for you this season?
more clients.
Yes, more clients.
I mean, honestly, I think just praying that God gives us creative ideas and
yeah.
strategies on how we can
yeah.
reach out to the community.
Yes.
You know, honestly, like how we touched on this earlier, you know, we thought that these people in the community would be reaching out to us more and doing different things, but obviously we're learning that that's not really the case.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just, you know, figuring out and brainstorming ideas on how we can reach out to people
mm-hmm.
in creative ways, in ways that it really is impactful for them,
mm-hmm.
that it makes them want to take that step.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray for creative strategies and like just like resources
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and connecting us to the right people
yeah.
so that we're able to grow our private practice. Honestly, it's not really even like our vision, it's more of God's vision. So
mm-hmm.
how are we as stewards of this vision God has given us, how are we able to take it and grow it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We hope that we can bless you guys even in that, and everyone, people who are watching now have understanding that there is help and resources
yeah.
out there for you guys. So we're just really grateful. I just want to end off with this before we end the podcast. It's, you know, I think understanding that relationship is so important, having that transparency with each other, taking the risk and believing in what God has, the vision that God has given you,
mm-hmm.
Sort of like what me and Matthews have done with the podcast in many ways. And I know at the end of the day, like, you guys are making impact that is generational. I share this all the time. This is a generational type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's going to bless not only what you guys are doing now in this moment, but what the future looks like for you guys
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
So we are with you guys because you're, especially because of your husband, but more importantly, we believe in what you both are doing, and we hope that more people will be able to do something similar, or even find ways to partner with you guys, and you know, reach out to y'all as well.
Yeah.
So just want to say thank you. Tune in for our more episodes that are coming out, And if you guys have any questions, any discussions around the topic of mental health, please feel free to reach out to them too. Or if you guys just want to put in our comments or have open up a discussion, we'll love to have our community kind of share your thoughts on all this. And we hope to see you soon. So thank you for tuning in.